This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's spend some time talking to a former college quarterback, Arkansas Razorbacks QB Clint Sterner, who is now part of our affiliate in Houston, Sports Radio 610. Clint, thanks so much for a couple of minutes. What's your reaction to seeing the Big Ten Conference a month after deciding, no, fall sports can't continue, reversing course and saying, okay, let's play some football?
Well, I'm not surprised after the football that I've watched. I mean, I've watched football for dang near a month now. University of Central Arkansas, I know a couple of players there, and so I watched those guys opening day and followed the next week, and there were no positive tests after that initial game. And so I knew that initial competition being played, that the testing following that was going to be obviously under a microscope. And when they came back clean and that organization or that program is continuing to play, and I knew that was a good sign, obviously, right? And the other Power 5 conference is not caving when the Pac-12 and the Big Ten did. You knew that was a good sign. So no, I can't say that I'm surprised that they came back with a lot of the pressure from the players and the parents and the public and the president and everybody else. So I can't say I'm surprised that they came back. I'm entertained by the way it all went down. The national media members that were behind not playing and really jumped on board when Big Ten decided not to play and the Pac-12 decided not to play, and now they're having to do a 180 and because the Big Ten is back in action. So look, it's great for college football to have all the Power 5 conferences. Hopefully the Pac-12 will follow.
Yes.
and we can put all this mess behind us.
When you say you're entertained or amused by it, is that because of the politics of it, or what makes you laugh about it?
Well, I think just the politics behind it, yes. The way that now the knee-jerk reaction to everything and every decision that an athlete makes or a program makes or in this instance a conference makes, the knee-jerk reaction for people to jump on board and have this strong opinion or this hot take, and then all of a sudden when it does a 180 – people start backpedaling like Deion Sanders and talking about, hey, look, I'm all about Big Ten playing now. And so it's just interesting to watch this thing unfold. It's interesting to watch all of us in the radio and the TV world try to report on it and keep up with it, when in reality, we don't know what's coming next with this COVID-19. And so I'm just entertained with the back and forth, the unknown, this squirming in the media to try to be on one side or the other instead of just letting it all play out. I think it's great for the kids. I mean, ultimately, that's all that matters, right, is that you've got a group of college athletes that are going to, it looks like at this point, are going to get to at least start their the next season, juniors, seniors. You got a feel for those guys. So they're at least going to get to start their upper class seasons and play a little bit of football. So that's all that matters ultimately, is that the kids get what they've worked so hard to start. I'm excited about it. I'm a huge college football fan, so I'm excited about it.
Do you think that whatever damage was done can be repaired and that all can be forgiven with this 8-game season now that the Big Ten is moving forward?
Absolutely. Look, there's nothing that these guys, and I say these guys, meaning the commissioners, NCAA, Power 5 conferences. I mean, I bet there's nothing that they can't get accomplished and they can't get beyond, right? It's just about at this point in time making a decision, sticking with it, and trying to get these games in. I mean, I think when University of Central Arkansas played, that was a good sign. I think when obviously the NFL got through training camp and have gotten through 1 week of games, and I mean the positive test for COVID-19, I think I saw two players out of over 4,000 tests two players tested positive in the NFL, I think was the most recent data that I'd seen. And so, that's all encouraging. And really, ultimately, that would be the only thing that would stop the train of college football, is for something to happen at the pro level or with one of these organizations in one of these conferences that games start to have to be canceled. Games that mean something. I understand there's some non-conference games right now that are being canceled, but when games that mean something and there's not going to be any ground to make those games up, so they're actually season-altering cancellations.
Right.
I think until something like that happens, man, these college football, NCAA, these Power Five commissioners, they're going to be able to work through anything and make it happen.
He's a former Arkansas Razorbacks quarterback, now with our affiliate in Houston, Sports Radio 610. Clint Sterner is with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. It's interesting to see the different ways that various schools and conferences have handled everybody going through mass testing, Clint, and everybody being in a system and a structure where there's accountability. How confident are you that that can actually work for a bunch of teenagers and early 20-somethings?
I'm very confident that can work. We've seen it work for early 20-somethings, early 30-somethings in the NFL in a big, big way, right? The X factor here, Amy, is the X factor is that there's students on campus, right? And these students, clearly, there's footage everywhere on every social media platform out there of students that are clearly not abiding by the social distancing and wearing the mask and things of that nature. In fact, they're totally disregarding it. So it's the combination of the athletes being on campus with the students and with the student body. And I think that's something to keep an eye on. I think this is something where I can't remember if it's Colorado or one of the universities out there has just simply shut school down, sent their regular students home, and they're doing everything, I believe, virtually.
Right.
And that is really, to me, the blueprint to make sure that you put your best foot forward, is to not have students and athletes commingling all day on campus and then coming back together and being in a locker room. And I wonder how that's going to work. I wonder if universities aren't going to make the decision to send students home and keep the athletes on campus, because we all know the monies that are involved and how important it is at this point to get a season in, even if it is 8 games. I think we may see more schools send students home and be 100% virtually outside of your athletics. I'm pretty confident that the programs and the athletes will do what they need to do to pull off the season.
Understanding the role that football plays for these guys, how important is it for these athletes and really student athletes to have football in their lives?
Well, it depends on, what perspective you're viewing it from. We got to realize that these kids go home. If they're not in a structured program with a head coach and a strength coach they're checking in with, they're eating, the nutrition is unbelievable on these university campuses, especially with the athletes. They're checking in every day. And then, so they're eating right, they're working out, they're taking care of their bodies, they're being tested consistently. There's an authority figure constantly in their ear every single day, making sure that they're wearing masks, making sure that they're social distancing. And so if we just look at it from that perspective, if they were to all go home and do classes virtually and not have those accountability figures in their life, I think they would actually be at more risk. So I'm one that believes that these kids are exponentially more safe in the locker rooms, in the programs, with the coaches, and all the things that come with being a college football player than I am if they were to be home in their hometowns doing God knows what, hanging out at parties and different bars and things of that nature. So yeah, I think it's the safest place for these guys right now.
And then looking at it from the perspective of the universities and the college towns, and a lot of the SEC schools are in towns where it's the biggest thing going, how vital is it to community life, and not just from a financial perspective, but just in general from a social perspective, and the idea that might be missing seems, it's hard to wrap my brain around.
Yeah, well, look, it's definitely missing. I played ball at Arkansas, where that's the only thing in the state now. Arkansas football isn't very good, the state slows down. You can only imagine when the games other than the players, obviously as a fan base, you can't flock to Northwest Arkansas and go to the games. You can't flock to Oxford, Mississippi and go to the games, or Auburn, Alabama and go to the games. You just can't do it. It's not an option. So, yeah, from a social standpoint, it's definitely a setback. And you got to believe that financially for those towns, it's a struggle. You got to believe that at this point in time, what are we, six, seven months into this,
yes,
this pandemic? I mean, people are going stir crazy, and now you got to hit them. You can't go do, you can't go to the football game of whatever school you graduated from. And so, yeah, it's a tough pill to swallow. There's no doubt about it. Although if you did, hey, I don't know if you watched the Arkansas State Kansas State game this weekend. But it appeared like students were full go and painted chest, no shirt, hanging out elbow to elbow. So I don't know how far we are from just opening up at least student sections and letting them kids rock and roll.
Clint Sterner is with us from Houston, part of our Sports Radio 610 affiliate and a former Razorbacks quarterback, also spending a lot of time covering the Texans. And so the NFL, I think, had to have played a major role in this. Not just that, but also high school football, playing in some of these same states and regions where college football was not. And you look around, you think, okay, what are we doing wrong? But I will say, Clint, I'm pretty impressed that the Big Ten managed to swallow its pride, because I wasn't sure if powerful men and women who made this initial decision would be able to admit that they were wrong.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, ultimately, that's all that matters, right? It's because most people that are in positions of power, whether it be college football or be the NFL or heck, high school football for that matter, typically aren't the people that are cut from the cloth that will admit that they were wrong and will backtrack and will ultimately do what's right, even if it comes with a little bit of embarrassment and a tough situation, some adversity to get through. But yeah, you got to salute the Big Ten for doing that. Now the question is the Pac-12 follow? But I did think it was interesting that the Big Ten, they came out and said that it was the advancements in testing over the last 4 or 5 months that really pushed them to reconsider. When in reality, we all know that it was going to be very tough for them to explain away not playing football when it appears that everybody else is doing a pretty good job across the board. Like you said, high school for the most part, college football for the most part, and the NFL across the board to this point has done a hell of a job, and they're full steam ahead. So it would have been very difficult for the Big Ten to continue along the path of no season whatsoever. It'd be hard to justify that at this point with all the action going on around college and pro football in the country.
We're spending a few more minutes with Clint Sterner, who is from our Houston affiliate, Sports Radio 610. And a big portion of what he talks about on his afternoon drive show is, in fact, the Texans. So what was your reaction to what you saw in the season opener for Houston in Kansas City? There were actually some fans who made the noise there inside Arrowhead.
Yeah, man, it was ugly. I mean, I'm glad that those fans got to get in and they all survived and it worked out for Kansas City, and maybe the future of NFL games will include more fans. But as far as covering the Texans, it was ugly. I mean, that was, if you look after watching, and I didn't watch every single NFL game, but I watched a good chunk of football over Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. And really the only team that jumped out to me to just simply not be ready, not look like they were ready to play. They looked like they took the field as if that was preseason week one. they looked completely outmatched by Kansas City, which I understand they're the Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champs, but the Texans are right there at the door of trying to take the next step to become an AFC team that can compete in the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs to be competitive for the AFC championship, if not a Super Bowl. And man, they took a big time step back. That's for dang sure. It's both sides of the ball. It was for four quarters. They were just completely outmatched, and it looked to me like they were treating it like a preseason game. And it's unfortunate, but you hope they can right the ship this week.
Well, and this week doesn't get any easier with the Baltimore Ravens, who I know fell short in the postseason, but they've got 14 wins from a year ago, a 32-point victory in the opener against Cleveland. What do they have to do to make sure they don't get stomped again?
Well, I mean, it starts with them. I mean, this is really a football team that underperformed last week, and so it starts with them looking in the mirror this week. The defensive line played absolutely terrible, including J.J. Watt, including outside linebacker Whitney Merciless, who those are guys that are typically really, really strong against the run. Benardrick McKinney, middle linebacker, he's typically really, really strong against the run. You know, these are all guys that just didn't show. They weren't physical last week. They weren't disciplined last week. They were completely uninterested in being there. And so ultimately they got to look in the mirror and get that right. And then when you start looking at this opponent, if you look at the matchups, I mean, there's no doubt about it that Baltimore is not above giving you a couple of opportunities in the first half of the game. They put two balls on the turf this week and fumbling against the Cleveland Browns, and the Cleveland Browns were not able to take advantage of either. In fact, the Cleveland Browns in return, you know, they just handed them the game on a silver platter. So I think the Texans have to play extremely clean. The Baltimore Ravens are a championship organization. They do the little things right. They take advantage of your mistakes. And if you don't take advantage of their mistakes, they will absolutely smother you and you will have no chance. And so it's about the Ravens. When they do give the opportunity to the Texans have to take full advantage of it. Keep this thing close and give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter, because the Ravens are really – the Ravens and the Chiefs, they're the bar that the Texans are shooting for in the AFC. And the last few times the Texans have played either of those organizations, it's been an absolutely skull-dragging. It's been embarrassing. It's been unacceptable. And the Texans have to right that shit sooner rather than later.
All right, Clint, before I let you go, I'm so glad you are a quarterback. You think like a quarterback, because I have got to ask. After watching week number one, and I get it, there's David Johnson, there's Brandon Cooks, there's other targets for Deshaun Watson, but watching DeAndre Hopkins catch 14 balls from Kyler Murray in a victory over the Niners, and here's Deshaun, of course, who's running for his life, and he's missing D-Hop. I mean, what's going through a quarterback's mind when you see that play out and you know that trade was made in the offseason?
Well, he's got to be fighting to stay positive with this thing, right? Because, I mean, I'm a realist. I look at it like if I'm Deshaun, I'm going, well, we lost we were up 24-0 in the first quarter of the AFC, second round of the AFC playoffs last year versus Kansas City, and they came back and got us outscored us 51-7 the rest of the game. And we had DeAndre Hopkins at that point in time. So, personally, I answer that question all the time. Well, the Texans with DeAndre Hopkins didn't fare very well against Baltimore, and they didn't fare very well against Kansas City. So let's move on and move forward. But your question specifically is DeAndre Hopkins having a big-time week, week one? Think about it like this. Not only did DeAndre Hopkins have a huge week, right, but his team, who really hasn't won much over hell since I was in the league 20 years ago, they hadn't won much. But they were matched up against the NFC champion from last year, and they beat them. The Texans, without DeAndre Hopkins, were faced against the AFC champion, the defending Super Bowl champion, and the Texans got embarrassed again. And DeAndre Hopkins goes for, I think, 150, and I think if you look at Deshaun Watson's top three receivers, they went for 153. So there's a lot of reasons for this situation to really sting Deshaun Watson. It's a bad look, but you know, I do believe that he's got some weapons. It was obviously a poor showing, and I think when you look at a 16-game schedule this year, it's going to sting a little bit because Hopkins is going to put up huge numbers in Arizona in that air raid with Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray. But I think this group in Houston will come together and they'll put up some good performances for sure.
We shall see. But yeah, that's the type of news that I can imagine Watson woke up to.
Ouch.
Yeah. All right. You can find Clint on Twitter at Clint Sterner, Sterner, former Razorbacks quarterback. And according to his Twitter, he's now spitting fire on Sports Radio 610 as well as Cox Sports TV. It's good to have a couple minutes with you. Thanks so much, Clint.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Y'all be good.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild.
conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.